Okay, for a few minutes this morning, I want to renew us in who God is and where we are and in what comes next by looking into the Word of God. If you have your Bible or a Bible app on your device, pick it up and find Exodus, the Old Testament book of Exodus, and chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at one of the Bible's best known stories, a pivotal story for all of the Bible and all of history of the people of God, and a well-known character in Scripture, Moses himself. We're going to look at the call of Moses when he first met God and heard God's call to go back to Egypt and to lead God's people out of Egypt. God's people had been in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. Moses had fled from Egypt. He was a prince. He fled from Egypt after he murdered an Egyptian, went into the desert. And for 40 years in this story, Moses has settled down as a shepherd in a shepherd's family in the desert area of Midian. Now imagine that. For 40 years, Moses has been settled. Things have become quiet. And in his mind, he has thought all along he could not go back to Egypt. He is a fugitive from Egypt. But he has to wonder in those 40 years, what is God doing? But in those 40 years, he's become comfortable in his life. He has become settled down. I might even say he's a little complacent. He's going through the motions day by day, business as usual. He's a shepherd living a shepherd's life. His number one goal every day is to bring his sheep to a pasture where they can graze. That's his day. And perhaps to survive the desert heat. But that's his day. And he's settled into that. It's business as usual. And when I consider that, I have to reflect on where we are as a church, where you and I are as believers. Do we ever settle down into a business as usual way of living our lives and way of being the church? And sometimes we forget that God is not a business as usual God. Well, that's what Moses is going to find out on this particular pivotal day in his life. So look there with me in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Just when Moses thought everything was business as usual, this is what happens. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire but was not consumed. So Moses thought, 'I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' 'Here I am,' he answered. 'Do not come closer,' he said. 'Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he continued, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey.'" Now jump down to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. God says, "Therefore go, I am sending you to Pharaoh, so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." For 40 years, Moses thought it was business as usual, and then God shows up. For 40 years, Moses thought walking in the desert was just walking in the dirt, that leading sheep was just leading sheep, feeding sheep was just looking for better pasture, day in and day out, business as usual. That's how the story opens, business as usual. And for 40 years, he has settled down and expects nothing from God. And then God shows up. And when God shows up, the place that was just dirt is no longer just dirt. It's holy ground. See, there's a lesson for all of us here. And the big picture, the major truth that arises from this passage in the story with Moses is that God takes that which is common and makes it holy. It's not holy in and of itself. This place is not holy in and of itself. It's holy because God shows up, because God blesses it, because God guides it, and because you and I follow God. And we always have a choice. We can settle down to business as usual, the day in, the day out of doing church, and never expect anything else from God. The problem with that is God is not a God of business as usual. And I don't know about you, but I want God to show up, and I believe that He has, and I believe the seat you're sitting in is holy ground, not because we're so holy, but because God is here. And when God shows up, He makes the common holy, and He changes everything. And I believe today that God has everyone here for a purpose. You are not here by accident. You are here today because God has called you up to the mountain. God has brought you forth to holy ground. God has said, look at me, listen to me, because I want to do something great, and I want you to be a part of it. When God calls us up to the mountain, and God calls us to holy ground, it's because He wants us, He invites us to participate with Him in the great work of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Would you listen to God? Would you bow to God? Would you say, God, I am here on your holy ground because you are here. This is holy ground. And we have a choice today. Every person in here has a choice. We can settle down, business as usual, go about church, expect nothing different. Or we can bow down to God on holy ground and say, I'm on the mountain, God. Call me out. I will do what you want. Because God is not a God of business as usual. When God shows up, He is inviting you and me to participate with Him. I want to break it down for us for a few minutes. When God calls you to holy ground, when He calls me to be with Him on holy ground, why does He do that? What can we expect? What does He want to draw out? First thing, on holy ground, when God draws you out to holy ground, He does it to get your attention. He does it to get your attention. Moses going about his day, business as usual, taking his flock to another pasture, and he sees a sight he's never seen before. He sees a bush that is burning. That's not the sight he's never seen before. He's seen that plenty of times. In that area of the world, those little shrub bushes, and it's a particular kind of bush that he sees. To you and I, it would look like somebody took a bush and they pulled it out of the ground, they turned it upside down and stuck it back in, and all there was roots sticking out. That's what it looked like. And they were everywhere. And in that part of the world, they would sometimes even spontaneously combust in the noonday sun. It was so hot. So he had seen them blaze all the time. But he had never seen one that burned but was not consumed. He'd never seen anything burn with fire and not be consumed. So the Bible says he went to take a closer look. And that's when God spoke to him. I want you to pause there just a minute. When was the last time you drew near to take a closer look at what God was doing? See, when we settle down in business as usual, we tend to take our mind and our focus off of what God is doing. But then God will show up and get our attention. He is asking us to take a look. This is something you have never seen before. And it's to those who pause, draw near, and look that God calls out to join Him on holy ground. Has God gotten your attention? Has God gotten your attention? If not, then you saw it this morning. Take a hard look at God's history in Brunswick County, First Baptist Church of Shiloh. We couldn't have done this. We couldn't have done this. Without God, we glorify Him in this. And if that doesn't get your attention, take a hard look at Upward Sports, at what God brought to First Baptist Church, and what's growing and mushrooming and flourishing on the fields on Saturday. Take a look. Draw near. Look at what God's doing. If that won't do it, come out to the beach baptism, which has grown numerically and incrementally year by year as more and more are baptized in the ocean, as people on Labor Day watched us baptized in the ocean. Saved people. We had the most at the beach baptism this year we've ever had. To come out, to rejoice, to celebrate, and be baptized in the motion. Draw near, take a look, because God is at work. And does that get your attention? If that gets your attention, you're on holy ground. God has called you out, and He's inviting you to participate with Him in the next work of God. God calls us to holy ground to get our attention. Sadly, sometimes, folks, we slumber. We're so settled down in our spiritual life, expecting nothing new from God, we are actually asleep in slumber. We just are spiritually asleep. We need to open our eyes and see what God is doing. And if we'll do that, then we see what God wants to do next. After God gets your attention, He draws you to holy ground to get your attention. You know what He does next? God draws you to holy ground. He brings you to holy ground to define your position. To define your position. It says, Moses, draw near. Draw near and listen to God. But Moses, take off your sandals because the place you are standing is holy ground. That's not just dirt. And it's not holy, Moses, because you showed up. It's holy ground because I am here. God is here. Is present. Now, Moses needed to hear God's definition of himself for a reason. Come closer, remove your sandals. Then right away, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was at that Moses hid his face and bowed low to the ground. There's a simple underlying message for the people of God who draw near to God, for the people of God who respond to his invitation to move forward with God, for the people of God who go up on the mountain, up on holy ground, and say, God, I'm here for you. You know what the message is? The first thing God says is, I want you to remember from this point forward, I'm God and you're not. Because the moment you become prideful, the moment you forget to bow low, the moment you forget that it's God that makes things uncommon, God takes common ground and makes it holy, the moment you think it's you, and God's not working in your life. God can't do what He wants to do. But I like the way God spells out who He is to Moses. He says, Moses, I am the same God of the history of your heritage and your people. I am the same God, Moses. I've always been the same God, just as powerful as I've always been. I'm the promise keeper I've always been. I'm the one that heals, that empowers, that directs, that envisions. I am the one, God, Moses, I'm the God that everyone before you has served. All the stories have been told about me. It's me, Moses. It's that God. I like that because it reminds you and I that we are serving now the same God and the same path of previous generations of the people of God at First Baptist Church. He has not changed. It's His vision we serve, not our own. He is God, we are not. And the church that God blesses, the church that God grows, the church that reaches the lost and blesses the county and ministers to people, that's the church that is constantly reminding itself, I'm on holy ground before a holy God and I bow to Him. And it's the same God, it's the same God that started this body called First Baptist Church. This same God was here in 1837. And He'll be here, the same God, working in our midst for generations to come until Jesus comes back. He's the same God. We get to serve in the heritage of believers of generations. It's the same God. Draw near. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. And Moses learned one more thing about his position. He learned that if it's God that shows up, if it's God that takes what's common, like a bush, and makes it blaze, well, you know what? Any bush will do. Any bush will do. God can use any person, any individual, to bring out His glory if they bow low to God and say yes. God, I will sacrifice. God, I will serve. God, I will give. God, I will do in my life whatever you want me to do. God, I want to be that bush that out of the common, out of the ordinary. Sure, there's hundreds just like me all over the place, but God, I want to be the one that's on fire. I want to be the one that's ablaze. I want to be the one that attracts people, not because of me, but because of God and what God's doing in my life and in my church and in my family. Remember who you are. And I believe again, with all my heart, God has picked us out, pulled us out, brought us to the mountain and said, this is holy ground, and is asking the question, will you join me in what I want to do? That brings me to the third reason God has us on holy ground today. On holy ground, God gives you a mission. He gives you a mission. After he gets your attention, after he defines your position and who you are, God gives you and me a mission. Moses, I have asked you up on this mountain, and I'm inviting you to participate in the greatest work of God so far in human history, apart from creation. You're going to go back to Egypt and lead my people out. If we were to continue reading the story, we would find Moses having a problem with some of that. God, I'm just a shepherd. God, I don't speak well. God, can't you send somebody else? And at each step of the way, God reminds him, Moses, I am with you. Moses, I'm in charge. Moses, I'm still God. Moses, I can do this. Just like at each step of the way, as God calls us out, as we look toward this journey, as we look toward that sanctuary being built, there will be times when we look at each other and say, we have no idea how we can do this. When we say that, someone please say out loud, God knows. God is in charge of this. God is leading this forward. God will surprise and provide if we will trust him and move forward with this vision. We are not here for ourselves. We're not. We are not here for ourselves. We are not here for our generation. We're not here to please ourselves or to be comfortable. We are here because we serve a holy God. And all that we do to glorify him, to satisfy him, to praise him with our lives, with our service, and with our work. We're not going to pave a parking lot or build a sanctuary so we can be more comfortable. We're going to do it because we believe God has a greater vision. Because God's going to fill every space and every seat. And after Vision 2020 is completed, we're going to do it because we believe we might have to do it again. Because we believe this is holy ground and God has called us here. It's a great work of God. It's a perfect and humble invitation that God would call us here and say, now it's your turn. This is your place. This is your purpose, First Baptist Church, to be on mission for him. God never speaks unless he has something to say and always has something for us to do. And I believe God has called us to the mountain, to this holy ground, so we will serve him. Inevitably, along the way, and perhaps sitting in here today, there are those who would say, I don't have that vision, I don't have that outlook, I don't have that perspective. But I believe for all of us who would answer God's call, he would give us that vision, he would give us that outlook, he would give us that perspective, he would draw us to holy ground and say, here's what I want you to do, this is my vision, this is my purpose at First Baptist Church. Heaven forbid we should turn away from that vision. Heaven forbid we should be the ones that show up in glory one day and say, wow, God, I didn't know you wanted to do so much, or maybe I would have gotten on board. Maybe I would have been the one also to participate, to answer the call, the invitation to participate with God. Heaven forbid any of us in this room would say no to God. 1,000 years ago, a Viking named Eric the Red gathered up families and soldiers, and they got on boats and they crossed the ocean to a major island that they discovered, which now we call Greenland. They landed on Greenland. They built settlements and colonies. And those settlements and colonies lasted 450 years. At their peak, there was 5,000 Norse and Vikings living on the colonies in Greenland. 450 years. And then after 450 years, all of those colonies disappeared. It's been the puzzle of archaeologists for a long time why that happened. And not long ago, archaeologists digging there among the ruins of what was left of those colonists 1,000 years ago at Greenland, they discovered what they believed to be an answer. See, often we think of Vikings as marauders, and you get that from television and movies. Vikings thought of themselves as ranchers and farmers. They were proud. In fact, it was a great status symbol for a Viking to be able to own cattle, to raise their own cattle. They believed in this so firmly, they would only eat cattle. They would only eat meat from cattle. So for 450 years, they thrived there at Greenland because they had cleared the forest and they'd made pastures, and the cattle had been plentiful, and they'd been able to eat the livestock and raise their families. But something happens when you clear the forest to make pastures. Deforestation inevitably leads to erosion. And something happens when you have generations of cattle grazing those lands. Eventually, they literally graze them out, and there's no more grass. Archaeologists have uncovered a story in the ruins of that colony, and it's a sad story. It's a story that shows that the Vikings ate all of their own cattle till there were none left. It's a story that shows not only did they eat their cattle, that eventually they ate the calves, indicating that at some point they gave up hope. It's a story that shows they ate other things also, because there were bones of cattle and bones of calves and bones of canines, all in these settlements that archaeologists have uncovered. But you know what? Of all those bones, there was one set of bones that's not anywhere in the settlement. Not anywhere there. There are no fish. There are no bones of fish. You see, the Vikings didn't run out of food. They just refused to eat. They were so culturally committed to eating their own cattle, and only cattle, they never fished. They lived on an island and refused to fish. They would rather starve than change. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. God is not a God of business as usual. And when God shows up, this is holy ground. He invites us. He calls us on mission with Him. And He calls us to sacrifice. And He calls us to change. He calls us to wake up and say, this is not about me. God, give me a bigger vision. It's about the generations to come. It's about the children sitting here this morning. And God, I will not sit here and protect my culture, my way of doing things, when God, you're calling me out to bigger things. God, give me a vision. Give me a vision. And let this church flourish. Let people be saved. Let the generations come. And we will praise God on holy ground for a long time to come. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, that's our call as a church this morning. Father, I pray, God, right now as we pause here a moment, we would sink in, God, it would sink into us right now that that's our call individually too, God. Because, God, I know in a place like this with this many people, there's 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 or more, Father, and we have fallen into a spiritual slumber, God. But, Father, I pray that you would pierce our hearts this morning. You would wake us up today. I pray for that one in here, God, that believer in Christ who's been in a spiritual slumber, who's not been paying attention, God, that you would speak to us today. We would come to this altar, God, that we would ask for your forgiveness, Father. You would change us today. I pray for that believer in here, God, who needs a fresh vision for their lives, God, who needs a fresh look, who needs to believe again, God, that you're in their lives, that you can do great things, Father. How I pray we would lay all that before you today. I pray for that one in here, Father, who needs to trust Christ as their Savior today on this homecoming for this very first time, God. I pray they would come home to you, to salvation in Christ. God, I pray right now you would move in our midst as we make personal decisions, Father, right now. I pray, God, we would know your power and your presence here on this holy ground today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me.